All right, we're going to finish up the Yarmulke thing very quickly. Discuss two issues. One that we're not going to spend too much time on, but because it doesn't seem to be a major issue for people, right? Are you pre-med or something?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm trying to Allah.
Right.
Are you interested? Right.
What draws you? What draws you to this?
What draws me to this? I think. Well, all right. It's a lot of things, but mainly it's that how.
I'll tell you what I'm getting at. You know, it's not on me to give you like the third degree. I'm getting at because it colors the presentation a little.
If I know things about
your interest level, like in other words, like and the topics, because the originally every single person was pre-med, I think, right? So when everyone was pre-med, so I geared it for that. But as it changes,
except for two, yeah.
Oh, more about you. Therefore, I am undecided.
Ah, okay.
No, undecided is pre-med.
Anyway, so the question we were talking about was whether what criteria do we use to decide whether we have to wear a yarmulke when we do different things, right? So we were the bottom line that we set up the discussion was that you're chayev in general to give up your entire parnasa if something is an iser, a lav in the Torah. Right, for every lie, you're chayv. And by the way, it applies probably to rabbanon too. Something that's an issur de rabbanon, it's a lav de rabbanon. To not bekum da'aseh do it, you're chayv to give up your whole parnasa. Could be argued. So the question was, what's the status of putting on the yarmulke? Is it just a minog? Is it a real mitzvah daraisa? Is it? And we started discussing many of the related gemaras, which clearly say it's a midas chasidus, right? I'll just review quickly. We saw from all the Gemaras, it's just a midas chasidus. It's not really something I have to do, period. The only ones who did it were like very special people, right? Tasi Li, I wear a yarmulke. I'm like the greatest guy in the world. We see the Rambam reflects that as well. When the Rambam talks about covering your head, he talks about very special people covering their head. What we didn't get to is, when we get to the times of the Shulchan Aruch and the Taz, introduces the idea that wearing a yarmulke might be something much more than that. And he says that it could be that if you don't wear a yarmulke, you're over on an iser of bechukosehem lo selecha. What's that din? What's the din of bechukosehem lo selecha? So how are you over on that aver? Who here has been over on that aver? Yeah?
Yeah.
I was kidding about this. How are you over on that aver? What do you think the chukosehem means?
Definitely. First of all, I think presence of
Chanukah
is like.
Is that Isser? Oh, okay, good. That case.
And also, like, is it shame? Is it being ashamed, or is it like, is it actively, or is that a sense of?
You know what? I want to get to the real topic, so I'm gonna let me get right to the point. What is Bichul Zayin Mosei Leichud? So, it's discussed in two Gemaras, in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Aleph, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Beis. My masterpiece?
Yeah.
It's over? This is actually worth it, this little discussion about Bechuk HaSeihem, because it involves a lot of important stuff. I'm going to dwell on this.
Are we finishing the yarmulke?
Yes. Yes. All right. I'm glad you're into it. Here, by the way, is the handout.
Here's the original.
Does anyone else need a handout on yarmulke?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to... So... Sure. Okay, so I think it's worth understanding Bechuk HaSeihem because we're going to have a lot of shilas in our lives that we're going to touch upon this. And let's find out if presence on Hanukkah, it's a good question. Is presence on Hanukkah a problem because of Bechuk HaSeihem? Or what about wearing a graduation gown? Is that a problem because of Bechuk HaSeihem? There are many that think so. Anyone here go to Rambam? Yeshiva Rambam High School? I don't think they wear a graduation gown, if I'm not mistaken, because they're holding it that way. So what's the issue? The Torah just says, "Ubichuk Hoseim lo seilecha." Pashuk shat means what? What's a chok?
Something we're not sure about.
So
then there's not a reason. There's not a reason for it.
Right. No, don't do the things they do without a reason. That's what might be pashuk shat, right? Because then the only reason it sounds like you're doing it is to
because you're doing it
to follow them, right? So the Gemara, this Gemara in about the Zari and Aleph and Sanhedrin and Beis that gives the two Gemaras that discuss this issur and. The context is as follows. It talks about, in Avodah Zarah, the one over there, it talks about burning the kelim of a king. When a king, or an important person, died, So there was a special ceremony where, as part of the funeral, they would burn his bed and his clothing and all his kale. What do you think that's about? So the Gemara says, wow, this sounds like this is Avodah Zarah, right? That must be Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says, no, because it couldn't be Avodah Zarah, because we do it the Jewish kings too. So don't worry about Pechukos Emel Salecho, because we do the same thing for Jewish kings. Because it's not done as Avodah Zarah. The reason they burn it is it's a show of honor. It's like retiring a jersey, right? I mean, why do we retire a player's jersey? Because he's so great, no one can wear that number. So too, this guy was so great, no one can use his bed, no one can use his sword, no one can use his different things.
Isn't it also to use his Melech's things?
Right, but not even the future Melech. The next Melech can't do it either. Right? So, okay, so the Gemara over there says, wait, the Havmina was B'chul Koseyem. Why? Because it was Avodah Zarah. And Maskana is, no, it's not. It's because it's Mishum Chashivos. Then the Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses very interesting Mishnah. This is a very interesting Mishnah. Who's learning Sanhedrin? Who's doing Arba Misos? That parak? Okay. Sooner or later, you got to get just Daf Nun Beis. And I think it's the fourth or fifth, whatever. And so when you get there, you're going to see they describe all the different types of Misa. So they say, what's the Misa of Hereg? What is that?
Deheading.
Decapitation, right? So they say, how do we do this? How do we accomplish this Misa? So the way we accomplish this Misa is, well, the mission of the Tanakhama says, we take a sword and we chop the guy's head off. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda and he says, oh, that's disgusting. That is really manuvel. That's not what you should do. What you should do is you take his head, you put it on a big slab, you take a gigantic axe, and you chop it off.
How does that even better?
Ah, very good. So the Mishnah says, Eino davar manuvel kezeh. That's exactly what the Mishnah said. So right, we're left wondering, because that's the end of the Mishnah. What an amazing Mishnah, right? So the Gemara gets right into it, thank God. And explains. What's Rabbi Yehuda saying?
There's no better way.
Did you learn this?
Yeah.
Go ahead. What is Rabbi Yehuda saying?
Pretty much. I mean, according to different the malchus of different nations would do it while they're standing up. So we try to make it a little more dignified. So we have him down.
That's how you look at it. What else does he say?
There is nothing.
What makes it really disgusting? What makes the standing up method more disgusting than the
lower? That's how they do it.
Right. One way of looking at it is right, like the Matthias way. You could say, well, if it's while he's standing up, the head's going to bounce on the ground or something. That's pretty bad. But I don't know. The thought of the axe chopping down is pretty bad too.
That's so, what the guy did.
Right.
So the sword is more humane. The sword is more humane. Probably less painful. Over quicker. Right. That's why it should be more manoeuvrable to do it the way he was suggesting. So, but what he explains is, but it's Mechuk Hoseya. That's why, right? He says, look, what can I say? It is, I know, I admit this is very disgusting, but at least it's not Mechuk Hoseya, right?
I'm saying, what does Chuk Hoseya, who does Chuk Hoseya, like who are we following, like the Christians?
Because
I'm saying like the samurai, I know it sounds like very nerdy, like when
there's something
when they kill themselves, they do harikari, they're on the ground and they chop their, yeah exactly and they right. chop their heads off. So that would be chuksagoyim in terms of
First of all, this is chuksagoyim. It's not only the samurai, but apparently a lot of the societies at the time were decapitating the way the Tanakhama said, which is why he's saying chuksagoyim means any guy. Right, there's a question, is it limited to, is it limited to the time of the Shiva Amim or something like that? Maskana halacha l'maisa. Very important for us. It applies to all guys.
Without a reason, it has to be without a reason.
No, we didn't get there yet. We don't know what it's about. I want to derive for you, what is this thing about? It's a four-way machlokas, and I'll show you how we pass it. But this is kedai to know, because there's so many things we do that gets into trouble. Or maybe that we thought we were in trouble, that's really mutter. So watch how it works. So the Gemara over there concludes and says, It's not the Chukos Hashem. So what's with the Tanakhama? How is he doing something that's Chukos Hashem? It's not. Why?
Because
what's the proof? It says in the Torah. Torah says you can do it this way. So now we have a kind of a... then the Gemara brings in the case of the burning the Kalim of the king. And they say that too is written in Tanakh. Right? Because, what's his name? Yeriyahu told Sidkiyahu that don't worry, you're going to have a pleasant death. We're going to burn all your Kalim. Everything will be great. That's really good news. Right? Imagine. Don't worry. You'll have a pleasant death. Oh, thank you. Makes me feel really good. But anyway, at the end of the day, there is a stira, because the reason that the burning of the kelim was good in Avodah Zarah Gemara was because of chashivusa. The reason was because it's a rational thing to do. It shows honor to the person, and it's not Avodah Zarah. But the Sanhedrin Gemara seems to tell me the reason it's not Chukas Hagayim is because it's in the Torah. So what's the rule? How do I learn the Chukas Hagayim? What is the principles that will establish for me when I'm being over on this and when I'm not? So it's a four-way machlokas. And we'll just, I mean, I'm not going to do all four in the interest of time. I'm going to get to the two that, I'll get to the three, because two of them are lahalacha, one of them is lahalacha for some people. So what does that mean? The Maharik. Anyone here with Maharik Kolon? He's one of the Bali Tosfos. Very, very important Rishon. He says like this. He says, the important Gemara is really Yonah Bodh Zara. The issue here is the following. That Chashivus. Chashivus is the answer. The Torah does not want you doing things that don't make sense. Right? The Shaila he was asked, his tshuva was, there was this medical profession custom that whenever anyone in his time became a doctor, they had to wear a cape. You know, maybe it was like Sherlock Holmes and Watson, I don't know. They had to wear some kind of cape that indicated that person's a doctor. Right? He was in Cologne. Cologne.
What time?
The city of Cologne. He was one of the Bali Tosfos. It was like the 1200s. So, what's going on with the cape? So that establishes that you're a doctor. It's a way of indicating you're a doctor. So the Shaila was, is this Chukas HaGoyim? He was asked, or can I do it? Because the Goyim do this. So he paskin, you can do it. You can do it. It has a rationale. Right? And Chok means there's no point to it. The only reason you'd be doing it, that's what the Torah's after. Don't do things just because they do it. Right?
So when it comes to Yarmulke, though, you're not doing it because they're not doing it.
But we're going to get to Yarmulke in a second. Let me just finish the whole thing with the Chukas HaGoyim, the final picture on it. And he said there's another criteria. This is also very important for us, Lachal Maisa. He said, and we paskin like this, Maharik. If you look in the Ramah, in Yerodeah, I think it's Kufayin Ches, check in here now. We paskin like this, Maharik, that Chukas HaGoyim is defined as doing something like the Goyim that doesn't have its own independent rational reason, or it's Derech Pritzos. You're doing it, and it's not accepted by Jewish society as in a proper way to be. So let's say if you took the halachas of Snias out of it, and somehow this was mutter legabe the strict halacha of Snias, but it's still like a gaudy, ostentatious, improper way to dress, that would be chukas HaGoyim, something that's considered improper and immodest. Right? We could start debating what are the different things that fit into that category, but that's his definition. Comes along the Gra, and he says, no, that's not good enough. You're ignoring the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin said there's another criteria to make it not chukas HaGoyim. What do you need?
Minatora.
It's got to be Minatora. It's got to be uniquely Jewish. So the Gra has a completely different focus. If you wanted to do the Chakir on the Lumbus here, right? So the Marik's telling me the objective of the Torah in not doing Chukas HaGoyim is that we should do things that make sense and not do things just because they do it. That's not enough for the Gra. The Gra says, no, Chukas HaGoyim is like this. We want to do things that are Jewish, uniquely Jewish, that we would have thought of also from a Jewish perspective. So, for example, the cape case of the Maharik, where the Maharik said it was mutter, the Gra says, aser. You can't wear a cape. Why? Because we, as Jews, we wouldn't have come up with that, right? It's rational, you can make up a rationale for it, which is enough for the Maharik, but to say that, what would we have come up with? An ID badge, right? We're not stupid enough to say all doctors should wear capes. That's not like a Jewish idea. We'll say, you want to be identified as a doctor? So have an ID that says you're a doctor. Have an MD after your name.
Lab jacket?
Right? A lab jacket, that would have been
that's
good enough.
I think that's a cape.
No. Lab jackets have more. There's more to lab jackets than that. Lab jackets have something to do with
sterile?
Yes. Sterile. Germs that are being picked up by your clothing. Like now, it's usher on the wards where I work to wear a tie. Right? A tie, someone did a study. What a great study. They measured the bacteria on all the different parts of your hands, your clothing, everything. The tie was a killer. Right? So, like, there were many, many senior doctors used to rip on the residents and medical students who didn't wear a tie, right? So when this study came out, so unfortunately, it's a tendency of the older doctors, they don't read all the latest literature, but the medical students and the residents are. So I'll never forget it. One friend of mine had a great clap, so he didn't come in with his tie. And he's in front of, like, 50 people on rounds, you know, it's like major chief of department round. So like everybody's there, and it's like hushed, and everybody thinks they're more important than everybody else. You got to see these scenes. It's all ego. Like I'm just like shielding myself from the burning egos. And so he goes to this poor little, like seeming Nebuchadnezzar medical student and says to them, you know, if you want to work in my hospital, you better be wearing a tie. So the guy whips out, you know, the latest report that says, oh really? Then I would be going and being over on this regulation where it says that I shouldn't wear a tie because I'm going to be bringing diseases around to all the different patients. And it was like a showstopper. It was great.
Okay. So you hired on the spot?
he gave him, I think, like an F for the course. But no, just kidding. Getting back to B'chol Hoseim, so the Gra wants it to be uniquely Jewish, capes out, right? Marik says, we don't postulate the Gra. There are some people that are mocked for the Gra. That's why I think in Rambam they don't wear graduation gowns, because they say graduation gown is like that. It's not a Jewish idea. But Marik would say graduation gown is fine. It's like identified as a special time to wear a special clothing, right? And then we start asking also like the Ran. The Ran says the whole thing's about the Zara. If it has anything to do with about the Zara, it is B'chol Hoseim. If it's not, it's not. Okay, great. Comes the Taz. And the Taz says, it's true that wearing a yarmulke is midas chasidus. Right? That's all the Gemara says about it. It's all the Mishnah. But I want you to know that Bizmanenu, his time, what was the etiquette of all good Christians? You walk in and you show proper respect by taking off your hat. And where do they do it above all else?
Church.
In church. So comes along the Taz and he says, therefore, for us to like take off our hats when we come in is a total manifestation of B'chol Hoseim. He just made wearing a yarmulke into a lav daraisa. If you don't wear a yarmulke, if you bedulah rosh,
no, if you take off your yarmulke,
if you take off your yarmulke,
you never put it on, then you're fine.
But if you're wearing a hat outside,
right,
you're wearing,
so everybody wears it outside.
So then,
so right, if you go Begila Rosh, if you sit down Begila Rosh, that's how he puts it. If you sit down Begila Rosh,
well,
yeah.
Put a black hat on top and take it off when I walk into a room. That's the same thing.
He would say that's going to be B'chol Hoseim.
Yeah,
right.
Is it love?
Right. No. You're on a love. Now, once we make it a love, the stakes just went up completely. You would not be able to take off your yarmulke if you went to an interview because you have to give up your parnasa not to be over on a love. So, what do you guys think of this?
Think you're going to save us?
Somebody's got to come up. Tell me the answer. What did Rav Moshe Feinstein say in a tshuva a couple of centuries later? What did he say?
Well, what I learned is that.
Oh, you learned this already?
No, not this.
Okay.
It's not usually Rav Shmanzi, because I think I saw something in his letters that if a woman like gives out her hand to you, she has to shake it, right? So there's clearly something like that. There's clearly some where the modern.
That's our next topic, by the way.
Okay.
We can do Yichud and Negia and Istaklos and all that.
I would see from that there's clearly like the modern, what's accepted in the modern world.
I don't want to go that way. I'll tell you why. Rav Moshe Feinstein is not saying that you could take the hand because that's accepted in the modern world. That's not at all. He would have said the same thing had he lived 1,000 years ago. On that child. What's that child about? Does anyone know what he's talking about over there?
It's not Derech Chiba.
Right, so the starting point is there, but not Derech Chiba is not enough, because not Derech Chiba just makes it a Derabanan and not a Deraisa, right? Some people hold, right, famous Machlis Rambam Ramban is no secret of Lugalis Yerbasa, is touching a woman in Issa Deraisa, right? Let's say it is. Certainly, if it's not Derech Chiba, it's not an Issa Deraisa, but it is an Issa Derabanan. But Kavod Habrios overrides the Issa Derabanan. So, and that would be true in any age at any time. So that's why, you know, and when we talk about this topic at more length, like, I'll tell you interesting stories about what happens. But, you know, if you're a doctor, especially if you're like a successful doctor, you're going to get a lot of hugs and kisses. So just get ready. You're going to go well beyond handshakes. And you're not supposed to, like, you know, as the person's approaching you, smack them away or like duck. You know, Kavod Habrios demands that if it's not Derech Chiba, hopefully it's not for you. If it is Derech Chiba, you got another problem, which you have to talk about on the side. But if every time a patient came over to you and you were, you know, rude to them, that would be a big mistake.
So, but then same thing with the yarmulke, it's going to be viewed as rude.
No. Wearing the yarmulke is rude?
No, because you're not taking off the yarmulke if it is.
So that's interesting.
So then we're reading halacha based on what the
Kavod Habrios rudeness would not override a law, Right? Everyone knows that sugya?
Mm-hmm.
Brachos, you test. Very good. Excellent. Who said that? Very nice. Right? That's the Kavod HaBris sugya. Right over there, it goes through, what is Kavod HaBris docha? So it goes through all the things, the Rabbanan, skipping over the grapes. Right? And what does it draw the line on? A lav, right? It's not docha lav. A lav d'arais, it's not going to be docha. Alright, but something more simple. Why don't we have to worry about the Taz? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein tells me I don't have to worry about the Taz.
It's not Bismarck's eye.
Yeah, of course not. Is that the etiquette now?
No.
Who wears a hat in the streets? All your Christian friends wear hats in the streets? And then they walk in and they take them off like you see in the movies? No, that doesn't happen anymore. He says people wear a hat when it's
cold.
And they take it off when it's hot. There's nothing, the whole dynamic has changed. So this isn't like reformation of halacha.
Now it's been
this is a beautiful example of the dynamic workings of halacha. There is a yesod about halacha. There is something called b'chukosayim. It started out, you know, being relevant, not relevant to yarmulkes, right? During the times of the Gemara, they didn't talk about b'chukosayim. They just said minas chasidus. During the times of the Taz, when they had this etiquette, it became relevant.
Now,
during
our times,
it's not. However, where is it relevant still? Was the one place that they do take off their hats.
Church.
There are two places, I should say.
Baseball game.
And one of them became a very big shiloh.
Oh, say, can you see it?
Church, they still take off their hats in church. Jeez. So the din, you'll notice, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, when we looked at the Shulchan Aruch presents wearing a yarmulke stam as a midas chasidus. Right? This is lo yelech. It says, asur yelech become a zakufa, below yelech dalan amos, yelech. Meaning it's just the right thing to do. However, there's a simon where the Shulchan Aruch, it's in your handout, says, but if you're going to shul, then you must wear a yarmulke, it's asur not to. And one of the explanations of that is because there, the Taz is b'chukosayim still does apply. Because in their house of worship, it certainly is their minhag to take it off. So therefore, there's more of a compelling reason under those conditions to put it on. That won't affect the person who's going for a job interview. At the end of the day, so after Moshe Feinstein gets through with this, it's just a midas chasidus to wear a yarmulke. And I'm telling you now that I don't think it's necessary for the majority of programs that you'll be interviewing for, because no one really, although I had one experience I'll tell you about in a moment, where
a couple walked into your office and walked right out.
That was one thing, but no, this was an interview. Did I tell you about my interview at NYU? Oh, this is unbelievable. So, you know, I applied, what, 15 schools? And I had, Baruch Hashem, very pleasant experiences at 14 out of the 15. I get to NYU, which was certainly inferior to some of the other schools I was applying to, and I got this person who was really having a bad day. And it was at the time of where Islamic fundamentalism was wreaking havoc. They were like killing everybody, and just there was an amazing expression of religious zealotry being a terrible thing. So, and this person, who is a very ultra-liberal psychiatrist, I'll never forget her, spent 45 minutes raking me over the... She never met me. I didn't get to say a word. But I came in there with my yarmulke, and she says, "You religious fundamentalists!" And then went crazy. Because it was like obviously bothering her that all these religious fundamentalists were destroying the world. So she thought I was one of them too. Needless to say, I didn't do well at NYU. But that would be an example of where you never know, you can get a kook. You can always get a kook that's like that, but wouldn't be a reason not to wear your yarmulke. There is Rabbi Leibowitz, Aryeh Leibowitz, who's in town, tells a story. I wanted to verify it with him a little. He said that Rabbi Willig had a guy in his shir who was applying to law school, who was a genius, got like the perfect score on the LSATs. He was like the perfect candidate. And because he was the perfect candidate, he decided to do the following experiment. He applied to 10 schools. Five of them he wore his yarmulke, and five of them he did not wear his yarmulke. The five he did not wear his yarmulke, he got into all five. The five where he did wear his yarmulke, he got into one out of the five.
So which one of the...
So, or it was law firms, maybe it was law firms and not law schools. Either way, interesting. Interesting phenomenon. But I want to verify. I mean, Rabbi Leibowitz had an agenda in the shir that that fit in with. But I if it occurs to the person, you should really, you know, think about it, ask a shayla, that your parnasa will really be affected by wearing a yarmulke or not. The truth of the matter is, Rav Moshe's tshuva is on that topic, and he's beferish saying it's okay not to wear the yarmulke. Now, Rav Avadya Yosef, we'll end with the Yarmulke story of this. Rav Avadya Yosef makes one more point that's very important that ups the stakes a little bit. He doesn't quite go to lo bechukosem losaylechu, but he says like this: wearing a yarmulke is not that simple. Bizmaneinu, because bizmaneinu, who wears a yarmulke and who doesn't? Who wears a yarmulke?
Religious
people. Who doesn't wear a yarmulke? Not religious people. So what other din's coming in? Marasayim. If you don't wear a yarmulke, that's marasayim, and that's ve'yisim nekiyim, which is an aseh. So it's not a los aseh. So I don't have to give up my whole income, but I gotta give up a fifth. So according to Rav Avadya Yosef, the stakes are a little higher in terms of not, and he's very opposed to just stop taking off your yarmulke, but he would not require you to lose your panasir over that either. All right, so that's a shaila that I really don't think will be too much halacha l'maaseh, hopefully for most of us. Any questions on the topic? We still have time to start to anyone? Yes. Today's topic, the next topic, is late for Shabbos, right? So here's what we're going to do. Am I skipping Kohanim?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to skip Kohanim. Sorry. I can do it with you individually if you're interested. Becoming doctor. Yeah. We're going to skip that, and instead I'm going to do late for Shabbos because everybody's going to run into this problem. Everybody's going to run into the problem of late for Shabbos at some point in their life.
You have to know Kohanim stuff as far as passing out their jobs over to Kohanim.
Yeah, it's Lifnei Iver if you do that.
I can't do it.
You cannot do it.
Okay,
it's a total Isser to...
Even in America after Donnie.
Let's go skip back. You should not facilitate a Kohen being exposed to a goof mess. That would be a big problem.
Maybe we should kick Donnie out of the
chair. Could be an Isser Daraisa. I mean, it is an Isser Daraisa. What? Remember that? Yeah. Right. Okay. That should cover everybody. All right. What's the topic of late for Shabbos? The topic of late for Shabbos is very important for doctors, as it will be happening to you, for sure. And even for non-doctors, because it will be happening to you for sure. It just doesn't always work out that you get home in time. It's important to see the evolution of this halacha a little bit. As you're going to see in this handout, originally it had one focus, and Bizmaneinu has a slightly different focus. The Gemara in Sukkah says the following. It says, "Amar Ebo Mishum Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok Al Yehalach Adam Ba'arve Shabbasos Yoter Megillah Parsos." Din, straightforward din. A person is not allowed to travel on Friday more than three parsos. Why not? What are we worried about? Worried about Chilul Shabbos?
You need to be working into order, being to begin ready for Shabbos. You need to prepare for Shabbos.
Good. So that's the focus of the Gemara. The focus of this Gemara is it's all about owning Shabbos. That you need to make sure that you. By the way, three parsels is how far?
Each one is 18 minutes.
How far could you walk in a third of a day?
I would take 6 minutes.
Right. Right? How far
like
is it? The Gemara, who knows the Gemara Pesachim and Afsai Dalud? Right? Famous Gemara. I call it the Slifkin Gemara. Because it's one of it's
Rabbi Slifkin. That was so confusing.
It's his favorite Gemara.
Yeah, the
is five or four mil.
Right, so we pass them four. Right? That's Bein HaShvashos. Or Bein Shkia La Zeis. It's four. But what's the whole Mahalach of the whole of a person in a day is 9 to 10 parsos. Mm-hmm. So three parsels is about a third of that. Why is it important to talk in terms of time and not in terms of distance? Is because we don't walk. We'll take a jet, right? Something like that. So what the bottom line you sowed of this din and the way it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch is you're not allowed to travel more than a third of the day away from your home or away from where you're going to be on Shabbos. You have to be, right, according to the din of the Gemara, you have to be where are you going to be for Shabbos with two-thirds of the day ahead of you?
A third of the day is 4 hours.
So how many people here know anyone who's makbid for that halacha? I don't know anyone. So what happened to that halacha? What happened to that halacha? Not there anymore. Who knows many people who make it just in time for Shabbos and don't leave work until the last minute? Every single Shabbos of my life, practically. So, but... Although not since I came here. That was my problem there. Right? I got away from it. But why is it acceptable? Anyone tell me? What's different? What were they worried about then? You have to read the Gemara.
You prepare Shabbos.
Let me tell you what the Gemara says.
You get ready for Shabbos. You prepare everything beforehand.
There's two things.
If your wife,
who here has gotten ready? Let me ask you. When you're living at home, who here has been the one to get Shabbos ready? Well, you're good boys.
Yeah,
you're very good boys.
Not everything.
You cook the food?
No.
What do you do?
No.
Not all. You help out?
I'm
impressed.
I stay out of the way.
If I had a daughter who was a little older, I'd introduce you guys right now. But for the most part, when you ask married men this question, they're not doing much. Right?
Stay out of the way.
This is what Aruch Shulchan says. He says, nowadays, the women are doing most of it. That's A. Right? And B, there's revach. We're not worried. You know, the Gemara is worried like this. I'm coming home from my business trip, right? And if I come to my house, I'm assuming they're going to be ready for me, but they probably won't. So I better get there in time that I can prepare for myself. If I'm going to a guest, it's even worse, because they're certainly not going to be ready for me, and they'll be embarrassed. So that's the Gemara's worry. But we don't worry about either of those for two reasons. One is that the women
don't care about it anyway.
And two, Baruch Hashem, if you had surprise guests in your home for Shabbos, would they be taken care of? Yes, there's enough revach, there's enough extra left over. Right? Hint, hint, anyone wants to just pop over? Surprise me. Just come on over. Right? We'll always have room. Right? There's a little extra challenge left, and there's like enough.
Alright, so the entire shoe is going to come next to
you. Alright, good, there we go. So this halacha doesn't... We're not worried about that halacha anymore, but what halacha are we worried about? What is the fear nowadays?
Chilul Shabbos.
Chilul Shabbos. This, I have to tell you this, because what we're going to do in this topic... is I'm about to give you 100 kulas and heterim. And it's my responsibility to make sure that you only use them the dieved if you need to. Otherwise, I am doing a tremendous avera. So I want to impress upon you, and I'm going to impress upon you with a little story to illustrate it, a true story. You are not allowed to use any of the heterim we're going to about to talk about unless you're in a legitimate position. Now, doctors are all the time in a legitimate position, so you're in good shape. Doctors, you know, you're coming home from taking care of people and saving lives and doing great things like that.
It's
a good excuse. It doesn't have to be Pikul Nevesh. Pikul Nevesh gets us into a whole other category. Returning from Hatzalah, that's a whole other Hetir Sofim Mishim Chilasa. We're not going to even get into that. This is talking about you're in medical school. Right? I'll tell you the typical scenario. A guy's in medical school. Let's universalize. A guy's in college. He's learning engineering. He's learning whatever he's learning. He's in college, right? And the tendency is that... you know, let's say that there's a lecture, or let's say there's like, what happens in medical school a lot of times, there's an unwritten pressure to, you know, impress everybody all the time. You're constantly impressing people. Right? It's the way it works, because, you know, you move up, you get a good recommendation, and you get a good preceptor evaluation. You have to always be impressing. So it's not very impressive if you say to them, I'm a Sabbath observer, and I need to leave, like, you know, 2 hours early. It's not going to go well. It's really not. So there's a lot of pressure to stay away. So oftentimes you're like just gunning it in just in time. So depending on your reasoning and the circumstances, you may or may not get to use, as the Mishnah Berurah points out. Mishnah Berurah here in the Resh Mem Tes refers you to Resh Samech Vav. And Resh Samech Vav is all these heterim that we're going to talk about. In other words, how much leeway we have all the way through. I'm going to allow you to be driving on Shabbos. I'm going to be allowing you to do all sorts of crazy stuff. But I tell you, you can't do it unless you didn't do pshia to get yourself in that position. So I remember Rabbi Sobolovsky, when I was asking him, you know, after I learned this sugya really well, and I said, you know, there's a lot of heterim out there. You know, there's a lot of room. If you really use that halacha lemaisa. And then I said, and question two is... do you not matir these things for people that you think were poshea? So he told me, yes, yes. Meaning that if a person falls into this position, nimela, with good excuse, they allotted the proper time, they didn't get themselves into trouble negligently, they had terim apply. However, if they were negligent, he holds back. So he told me a story, it just had happened. There was this young couple coming around from the mountains. Now, if you're driving back, let's say, from wherever up there in the mountains to the city, so how much time do you allot? When do you think you should leave? What's playing it safe? What's doing the right thing?
4 hours. Or 4.5, 5 hours.
Right, so
very safe.
Let's say you calculate. So you're going to calculate, all right, I'm going to be driving at X miles an hour, whatever, and it's this distance. Right. So, but what you need to take into account also?
Traffic.
Right. and that you're really driving at a normal speed. What did these people do? He told me. He said they calculated, look, I can, if I drive at 90 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour on 17, I can make it in such and such time. And that was their calculation. In other words, they gave it enough time, assuming they were going to travel that. So they, you know, let's stand them the chafsus. So they started out, and they were going 90, 100 miles an hour. But what did they not account for?
Traffic cop.
The cop stopped them, right? Pulled them over and just added on another 45 minutes to their trip because they got a ticket. And you know what? As soon as you tell the cop you're in a rush, they take their time even more, right? Oh, you're in a rush. So I'm about to teach you, here's your first lesson in not speeding, right? So, lo aleinu, none of you should ever be stopped for speeding, but this is really what happens. I've been stopped for speeding. I usually have a good excuse, right? I was stopped one time, and the cops are very suspicious. So you get to say you're a doctor if you're telling the truth.
Oh, you were the hospital?
Yes, yeah. Remember that story? Right.
No, but my father.
I went into the carpool lane. Because I really had an emergency in the hospital. I had to get to the ICU. So I'm going into the carpool lane and I'm like flying in the carpool lane where there's dead stop traffic to my left. And the cop stops me. So I said to him, I said, look, I can't stop. I gotta go. I really have an emergency. He says, what do you mean you have an emergency? Who are you? I show him my ID. He says, yeah. He says, okay. So he lets me, because I think I had a whole discussion though. At first I said to him, someone's going to die if you don't let me go. I basically said that. I said, what's your name? What's your badge number? Because you're going to be responsible for this person. Who's... So he lets me go. And he follows me all the way to the hospital, up to the ICU. He still wasn't buying it till he saw that it was verified by the nurses. Yes, we called him in to take care of this patient. But short of that, they're going to stop you and they're going to do it. So that's what happened with this couple. They got into trouble and they call up Rabbi Somolovsky, you know, and he said to them, the first question he asked them was, how did you get into this mess? So he didn't let them use the heterim. He didn't let them use it. The heterim I'm going to tell you about. They had no option but to find the closest motel and buy stuff and stay there for Shabbos. And that was the only option. So what we're going to do is... I guess on what's the other day we do this?
Thursday.
We're gonna actually with 5 minutes. Can we do mincha here? What's this is the Sfarad minion here?
No, they
haven't had one.
Yeah, they
always try.
So because I like not to drag this out. I want to give you the background very quickly so that we can just talk about the cases on Thursday. Is it Thursday?
Yeah.
Thursday. Because you have to just know a little bit background about how the timings work by Shabbos. That's step one. And step two is then we go through all the scenarios and you discover what you're allowed to do. So for example, if you're stuck somewhere, do you have to like get out of your car like the guy on the Shirach Day? Right? You know the Shirach Day, famous Shirach Day story? The guy was going out with this girl and they were on the GW. And the girl's very firm. And they're in traffic.
Oh, I know this one.
And this is a true story. She decides she's got to get mincha because it's about to be shkia. She's got to get mincha in. So, okay, good. So the guy who's only, the guy's he's a stark guy. He knows what he's talking about. He says, good, okay, daven mincha, but just do it right there in the car. Sit there and daven mincha. No, I have daven mincha sitting in the car. She's really from. She gets out of the car on the GW. She's got to stand out there on the GW and daven mincha. So he drove off. And I don't think there was a second date. I don't think there was a second date. But it was terrible, right?
That's what I think today.
Even though she, I could see why he didn't want a second date.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know.
She likes Gemara.
She aren't.
There's from, and then they're stupid, right?
Right.
And that's a chassid shota that gets out in the middle of the GW at twilight to daven mincha would be a stupid thing to do. It's like to me analogous to on a plane, right? Go in the back, disrupt everybody and disturb everybody. And now that I also read on certain size planes, this was the killer for me. I was in the airport waiting for the flight the last time I went back to the States, and they were announcing this plane, which is like, I don't know the size of it. It's like smaller than a jumbo normal 777 or 747, a little smaller, but. They made an announcement that somehow the seating got messed up. And it was going to be whatever, first come, first serve on the seats. But they made an announcement, listen to this, they said, we know that's first come, first serve on the seats, but everyone has to make sure that they're sitting in a balanced way. We can't have everybody towards one section of the plane, because if we did, it could actually cause the plane to start toppling or something.
Oh, yeah.
I never knew that was true. If that's true, that, true, that's more of a reason. When the whole, when you're in El Al and the entire minion is front, the entire plane is front, and the whole plane goes back there, it's like Meshuggah. So, all, it's not my idea. Poskim, the major poskim, including Rav Shechter, eyewitness to Rav Shechter himself, sitting, bechidus, davening, not joining the minion, would maintain on a plane, you don't do that. You don't
really?
Do that.
Yeah. He didn't daven?
No.
Well, you're sitting next to
him. He davened in a mekubedik way by himself. He, all the poskim came out this way. The poskim said it's...
It depends on the situation, you know, though. Like, one time I was on a flight, and it was...
If they,
I was the only person...
If it's organized by the plane, it's okay. Like, if sometimes they do that. The, where the plane will say, we're gonna, we're giving you the space to do it in an organized, without, non-disruptive way.
How do you know
they have to
they
say?
They made an announcement, and I went around. I was the only one there.
Right.
There.
Right. But other than that, the other ones where they start getting angry at you, no one should do it. Okay, so we got to go to Mincha. All right, so we'll do both things. On Thursday, we're going to first quickly go through this handout, which is going to describe the different status of the different times as you approach Shabbos. And then we're going to talk about what we do during Ben HaShemeshes, what we do during actual Shabbos in order to get home safely.
Are we doing Shabbos?
Yeah.
Okay.